When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
She's seen the killer, and the killer has seen her. This week on the podcast, Carol Ellis's The Window.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytay.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent, and we are joined today.
Okay.
Oh, God. Lindsay, did you want to do it? Lindsay wanted to do it.
I guess I was going to say the book again, but doesn't. So I don't know why that was.
We're covering the window. We're covering the window.
I'm sleepy.
Well, we have a very special guest today. You might know him from College Humor or Actually, writer and actor. Mike Trapp is here with us. Thank you so much, Mike, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. We're doing The Window by Carol Ellis.
Good work.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Now you get to have Kelly's co-hosting job. Before the podcast started, I said that I was going to quit.
No,
and now I'm firing Kelly.
one strike rule. We have the one strike rule. And I should have mentioned it. It's okay. But we are doing the window.
The one strike rule?
Oh. I don't know if it's been mentioned yet, but we are talking about The Window.
So today on the podcast, we're covering a book by Carol Ellis called The Window.
The Window.
We have a new rule on Teen Creeps where each person on the show has to intro the book, just in case people forget.
It's like doing a podcast
ad where you like have to repeat the brand like three times.
Promo
it's like,
this code, like, The Window. Like this.
Yeah. Or it's like an improv warm-up where it's like, we're doing The Window. Pass it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You have to name your scene partner.
A whole sound and movement podcast. Just like, what am I listening to? And
it's like, a nightmare.
Complete nightmare. I literally became drenched in sweat when you did that. Whoa. Okay. I felt like we were doing like a viewpoints workshop or something.
Right.
That was very intense.
It's taking me back.
Mike, I recall that you are an avid reader, or you were, or you are.
I am, and I was, and I love books.
And
I love
ever shall be.
And ever shall be.
You're currently sitting in front of a bookshelf that has a lot of books in it.
Yes. I should also mention that my wife works in book publishing, so she's just like constantly reading books. And where I like, it's a partnership that really works because she reads, we both are pretty like wide tastes in books. But I get a little like scared by like really like highbrow literary fiction sometimes because it's like
you're safe here.
I do like the pulpy stuff. I do like monsters and things.
Yeah, yeah.
And since she reads a little bit of everything, she's able to like tell me which of the highbrow stuff I'll like. Well, she'll like read a book. She'll be like, you'll like this one. It's like great. And she's like always right. So it's like okay, cool. I do get some highbrow stuff in there. I just get like someone to filter it and tell me if I actually like it.
Yeah,
that's great.
That is a great partnership.
Yeah.
Well, I do wish you had told us beforehand that your wife works for book publishing because that is a conflict of interest.
That's true. Yeah.
We're going to have to ask you to leave.
So we're going to have to cut it short.
Oh, no.
But like Lindsay was saying, you really have no danger of any kind of highbrow situation here.
Absolutely not. I don't know. I don't know how much we need to summarize about the book before we jump into it. But I guess one thing that feels like it's worth mentioning for me, as like my experience reading this, was one second. Sorry, I just got a weird notification on my computer that said my phone had answered a call, and was like, "What? Am I talking on a phone right now?"
Oh, that is creepy.
Creepy.
The call is coming from inside the phone.
It feels like it's worth mentioning that this book is just Rear Window. It's exactly the movie Rear Window, like beat for beat. So if you're ever confused, like, wait, what's going on in the book at this point? If you're familiar with Rear Window at all, it's just that.
It's exactly that. I mean, it's like down to her leg is hurt.
She's looking out a window. She's got a binocular.
She sees But she also, like, okay.
Even the title is just, like, you took Rear Window, and you're just like, well, yeah. I can't call it Rear Window.
Do you want to read the back of the book?
Yeah, I'll read the back of the book because, okay, because also Jody, our main character, is, like, 7,000 times more stupid than the guy in Rear Window. Because at least he's, like, I think there was a murder, like, whereas she's like, what, is that jam on the wall?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
you know, that thing we all experience. Right on the wall. It could be jam. It could be nail polish.
Okay. It should have been the skiing holiday of a lifetime, but Jody sprains her ankle and finds herself alone with nothing to do but gaze out of her cabin window. Gazing into the cabin of a beautiful neighbor, she witnesses the fight, the murder, and the killer. Or does she? And if the murder's real, has the killer been watching Jody?
Or does she?
Or does she? She does.
I feel like this book was like, it was like a huge chunk, just like a giant chunk of it was just build up. And then there was like maybe like 10 pages of like, oh, this is kind of okay, fun suspense. And then just another big chunk of denouement. And it's like, there's like, if we could just change the proportions of this a little bit, like a little bit more suspense and a little less like long descriptions of like an orange peel skiing race.
Oh my God, the orange peel.
I could not have cared less about the fucking stakes of that orange peel race.
The orange peel race. I mean, there were certain parts of this, though, that I did weirdly, like, feel a lot for a lot of these side characters. Like, I was surprised at how much I sympathized with Billy until, like, certain parts later I was like, okay, maybe he's kind of weird. But, like, when he is, like, super crushing on
I kind of loved Billy.
Sasha, and then also kind of Liana. But when he's, like, staring at Sasha skiing down the hill and he's just got his jaw agape and his skis crossed, I was just like, ah, shit, Billy, like, God, this is so brutal. Like, I just felt so bad for him.
Does it say something that that comedians are sympathizing with Billy here, who was a sort of like, I'm the clown of the group. Like, I got to laugh at myself. Otherwise, like I won't be in on the joke. And
oh, my God. Seriously? Okay. Also, that game of truth, it should, like, no one should play that game.
What an evil game.
Yeah.
That game is pure evil. There's no way that game was not invented specifically to ruin friendships.
Seriously. Yeah. And that, like, Billy, when he's sitting there and, like, hearing all this stuff, and he's still trying to joke it off, like when, and I know we're kind of jumping around, but, like, when he's talking to, he talks to Jody a little bit, and then Jody's like, you know, gets to know him, and he says, he kind of lets it be clear that he's not that confident and that he is only the joker because otherwise he's the joke. And I was like, and then when she writes, like, you wish you were someone else sometimes, and he's like, not true, I wish I was all the time. I was like, Billy.
A bit of a correction. I wish I were dead.
How did they meet? How did all these teens even meet? How did this trip become?
How does Katie know them? She didn't seem to actually be friends with any of them. So, like, just, like, real quick, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just to intro talking about that is our girl Jody is headed out for a skiing trip. She was supposed to be on this trip with her friend
Kate.
But then Kate got the flu and stayed home. And so Jody doesn't know anyone. But then it's like, well, Kate didn't know anyone either, except for the guy that she has a crush on, Cal, who is the boy twin of this genre loves a weird boy-girl
twin
relationship.
Twins.
Beautiful. So Cal and Sasha are twins.
The wolf twins.
Dark hair. They're gorgeous. Sasha's bossy, but effervescent and charming. Cal is handsome. I can't remember a single other personality trait.
He's supposed to be like lighthearted, but he pretty much is just like depressed.
Yeah. So
they give you also, like, when they're driving up, it's like, hey, we're heading on this ski trip. And just so you know, it's like, here's why I'm, like, they're giving you this info dump. They also, like, give you a name dump that, like,
when
I read this, it was like, holy moly.
I had to,
like,
take notes literally, okay, so my notes were, I had a couple before this, but once we got to the characters, it was, oh no, too many characters. So then I started listing them. Sasha and Cal, hot twins. Billy, the klutz slash funny guy, he has a stuffed up nose and he's into Sasha. Chris has spiky blonde hair. She's a bitch. She's into Drew. Kate is stuck at home. Jody is the main character and she's scared. Liana Calder is the hot girl. We haven't met her yet. Ellen Cummings has light brown hair. She's interested in Drew and we just forget she's there for the whole book. Drew is brown-eyed and brooding and handsome.
Yeah, it almost like it felt like we needed one of those like dramatis personae like at the front of a play,
God,
where it's
yes.
like, so you know, like this is the, you know, the handmaid of so and so, and this is like Duke of whatever is here, and like it was just like so much information right at the top, like and also every name, like not every name, almost every name was like a little androgynous, where it's like Chris could be a guy or a girl, like we find out it's a girl, and it's like you had Drew. It's like, well, that could be like either way.
And
like, there were like multiple names. It was like, okay, what? It's so hard for me to like figure out what's going on with any of these characters.
Well, because there's nine characters straight off the bat.
Yeah.
And, that's nine people.
And Sasha, Cal, Drew, and Chris are all names that can be either male or female names. And
so that's just like too many.
Like, what is happening here?
Yeah. And then you throw, and then you throw into it that two of them are twins. And I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. I have no idea who anybody is. And the book kind of thinks that too, because then Ellen kind of just like falls. She like leaves until she comes back to be like, I want to destroy Liana.
There are multiple times where a character is like, I don't even know these people.
And then, I know.
And it's like, me neither, man.
I truly wrote also when everyone's like, so she's like, it seems like everyone's nervous and trying to figure each other out. I was like, then who knows?
I thought they were
like,
friends. Yeah.
I thought you guys were friends. Like, why are you on this trip? Except like, for Cal and Sasha.
If they had talked for like another 2 minutes on that van, it's like they all would have looked around and gone, wait, who started this trip? How did we all get here?
Invite this,
wait, I thought that you invited me. No, I didn't invite you. Cal invited you. I've never heard your name before today. It was like, what, who, where, when, how are you friends? Do you even go to school?
They
how
don't go to
you
school
people?
Together.
Are you
That's
in high school?
Thing.
Are you in college? Everybody, the only
Parents
person
like,
that absolutely everyone knows is Liana.
And they all
the
hate
popular
her.
Bit.
Everyone hates
who
Liana.
Everyone like has a reason
Liana.
To kill.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Also, okay. I thought it could be Sasha because spoiler alert, Sasha's the killer. Mm. But seriously, like I was like, it's fucking Kate. I thought it was. Kate.
I wanted it to be Kate so much. I thought that would have been so much more interesting because I was kind of like, it's like, oh, what a great setup. It's like, oh, I'm sick, and like it's like I've got an alibi. I wasn't there, and then like. And, like, I do think she tries to sort of set that up a bit. Like, there's, like, the call that she doesn't pick up. Like, she wants you to imagine Kate as a potential killer. And I do think it's just, like, oh, this would have been so much more interesting if it was, like, I was the mastermind, the person you barely saw was doing this.
Yes, exactly.
I wish she'd really gone for it. And then it would have been cooler because it was, like, the one person she actually knows.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Also, just, like, what a nightmare is it that, like, you're in high school, your best friend is, like, hey, let's go to the ski trip. And you're like, I guess, because like, I know you. And then they're like, oh, actually, I'm not going. Like, can you, like, if I were in high school, I'd be like, I just can't go. I just can't. I cannot
I was just about to ask this, the same thing, like on a human psychology level, like if I were in this situation, I just wouldn't go on this trip.
Yeah, there's no fucking way.
And like, they justify it by being, it's like, well, you need to go there to keep an eye on my man, who's not even really my man, which is like, well, no, doubly no then. I'm not there to
like. Like, are you paying me for this job? That's the most uncomfortable
what do you
like,
want me to
side
do?
Hustle I can think of. It's like, well, I go on ski trips with people I don't know so that I keep an eye on the person. Not even you're a man, but the guy you have
guy
a
you
crush
like.
On.
Yeah.
So I thought at first I was like, wait, is Kate dating Cal? And then like, it turned out, no, she was just interested in him. But I was like, what a weird thing that like, first of all, that Liana is this like woman of myth where everyone's like,
yeah, what school do these people go to?
She's got that taffy hair.
What?
Yeah.
That taffy hair.
All right. Here is a question I would like to ask. What the fuck color is taffy? I know that they they think it's dark blonde or something.
Mm. I think it's like caramel.
But like taffy, all I can think of is saltwater taffy. So in my mind, I'm like, So like pink and white, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So like peppermint taffy color, what are you talking about?
Laffy taffy. It's like a weird like gray pink color.
Bright yellow.
Also, like what's weird is that we are only told that Liana sucks by everybody, but our main character, Jody, never experiences her sucking. Like she never, in fact, Liana's nice to her and like helps her.
Jody's a blank slate. She just she just drifts through this story like just kind of, she's like a weird like paramecium who just like takes in stimulus and just sort of like vaguely reacts to it. Like, oh, that's interesting. And then just drifts somewhere else.
I'm learning to be human.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh my God. Like speaking of, okay, I know that like there's a limit to how resourceful these main characters can be because otherwise they would like solve the murder instantly. But like I was so mad at how stupid she was when she was like, so she sees the binoculars first day. And I know that's supposed to be seeding it for us. It's like Chekhov's fucking binoculars.
Mm.
But so she sees the binoculars and then she's like, oh, look, Liana's cabin is over there. I want to see what's happening. Oh, I can't really see well enough. Oh, well, I was like, get the binoculars. Like, what are you doing? Like, she wouldn't do. And then all of her like weird fake shame at like watching people. I was like, come on. Like,
yeah. Like, I can't like, watch this murder. That's rude.
I know. Yeah. I was like, hello? Like, just look at it. I was so mad at her.
There's so many like weird things to pick apart with this story. Like as you've been talking, like I've been remembering things and like now there's like too many things stacked up in my head. I'm like, oh, right. What was up with that? So I guess just to take a step back here to talking about Liana, it's like everyone hates her. They're like, this fucking bitch, like she's like a monster. It's like, and like they're all the examples they gave, there's maybe like one example that was like actually like, yeah, that kind of sucks, where it's like she plagiarized a paper of mine. And it's like, yeah, that sucks. But all the other ones are like it's like, oh, she like she's like a man stealer. It's like that's not a thing really.
So isn't then, that like pretty common in high school?
Pretty common
that but like then, yeah, your boyfriend breaks up with you and then dates someone else because it's high school.
Yeah, yeah. And it also like it wasn't even like they went out of their way to be like, it's not even like an active like she's a homewrecker. It was like she doesn't even do that. She just sits around and waits for boys to fall all over themselves. And it's like, so she does literally nothing. She just angry at her because other people are attracted to her. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I feel like her character is what, okay, you know those girls that are like those pick me girls that are like, I like being friends with guys because girls are too much drama. Like, I feel like that's what they think they are. Yes. Like, they think they're Liana, but like, really, they're fucking Chris or whatever. But like, she was so harmless. Like, she just, like, okay, she was very beautiful and she was very good at skiing. And she, I guess,
she's mean. They talk about her being mean, but like so many people are mean. Why do they talk about her? They're painting her on the level of this like like super villain. It's like, I don't know, you expressed that you were interested in her and then she like laughed at you. And even Cal, who is the one that gets laughed at, is like, yeah, like I would have gotten over it.
Yeah.
It would have been fine.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, his twin Sasha is like, I'll fucking kill this fucking cunt.
Okay.
She needs to but fucking for real die. Though,
I liked Sasha. I really liked Sasha.
Oh, I really liked Sasha too. She is crazy.
I think that like also like Liana's not meaner than anyone else on that
that's
trip.
That's what I was just gonna say.
Everyone on this trip
Chris
is a
seems
nightmare.
Way meaner.
Chris was so
mean. Fucking
they're
just
talking
like
about
sniping everyone every step of the way.
So and, like, jealous of Jody. I was very amused by Drew's characterization because it's like, he's so moody. He's just like, he's hot and cold. And I was like, the only times he's cold is when Chris is talking to him. He's not moody. He hates Chris. He dislikes he dislikes all the people on this trip except for Jody. Whenever he's talking to Jody, he's in a good mood. Whenever Chris opens her bitch mouth, he's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you were in a van with these people being like, I don't know these people, I'm going on a ski trip, and like just like how like an half an hour into this trip hearing these people talking to me like, oh no, what have I gotten myself into?
I would have sprayed nightmare. My ankle on purpose, frankly. Yeah.
Or just like faked it. You're like, ow, oh, don't touch it. Ouch, 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 ouch. Ouch.
Sorry, I can't go to your rockin' party with 6-inch subs or whatever the hell.
Oh my god.
We have cola, we have 7-Up, we have, and then just like diet. and caffeine free. And I was like, diet and caffeine free, what?
Also, you cannot fucking tell me that there was no fucking alcohol at this party. Like, the fact that they were like, it's going to be wild. There's going to be five foot long sandwiches. And
oh my God, I'm
going to
get so fucked up on subs, you guys. It's going to be crazy.
They talked about the subs so much that it felt like it was like a code name for something. Yeah. It's like, guys, we're gonna get some big subs. I'm talking about like these subs are gonna fucking blow your mind. I'm talking like primo subs, like not just the stems and seeds shit. No. I'm talking about subs. It's like, wait, what are we talking about? Subs?
Jody walks into the kitchen to get like an actual sandwich, and Billy is just guarding a table full of drugs.
Powders and pills. It's like subs, man.
This was the other thing that, so Jody to me like is either just very boring and like just taking in information and being like or kind of a narcissist. So she's like watching the twins, she's in the car and she's watching the twins and they like smile at each other and she's like, wow, it's, you know, they're so connected. And honestly, I feel a little bit left out that they can talk to each other like that. I was like, Jody, like, they're fucking twins.
If you think about it, like, telekinesis is like very selfish.
I know. I just feel like Jody's the type of person that would like create an oppressed group on Twitter and would be like, how come nobody's talking about like Irish woman representation or something? And it's like,
she's for sure like, there are no natural redheads on television.
Or
it's like,
she's like, hello, the conversation that you guys aren't ready for is non-twin oppression.
Yeah, non-twin communication.
Yeah, or like someone who's like, it's like, why wasn't I invited to that party? It's like, well, it was a cast party and you weren't in the play. It's like,
yeah.
But you left me out. It's like, you clearly aren't, this isn't about you at all.
Like, you would not have been in, you cannot be invited. Like, I don't know.
That's just
you.
Not, we're doing something else over here.
I also just have one note that says, but doctor, I am Pagliacci. Because I was just thinking about the conversation that he has with Jody where she's like, but isn't it just so much fun to just be the funny guy? And he's like, yeah, if you're not the joke. And she's like, oh. She's like, I can't relate because I have no personality.
All these teens are just like, they're like cartoon versions of teens, you know, like it is just like, it's like, they're nothing but like horny and sad and angry. And they just like, they vacillate between those three things. And just like, it's like, if they're not like, why is she talking to him? Why is he talking to her? Then it's just like, I guess life's pretty hard at this parentless, all expenses paid ski trip. With giant subs, all the subs I can eat and snort.
Illicit substances. And of course, because this isn't a Christopher Pike book, there's no such thing as horniness, only deep, abiding love.
Yeah, just like longing.
Longing.
I also liked the quote that, okay, so here's the thing. You know how sometimes really boring people can say like kind of funny things? That are like, you know what I mean? Like, they're so boring that they just like say something. So, okay, basically what I'm trying to amp up to is the fact that Jody sees that the twins are fighting and she's like, trouble in twin land. And I was like,
I wrote that down too, that line down too. It's like, I was like, hey, Jody, don't be weird. This is fucking weird. Because it's also like, it feels like a playoff of like Trouble in Paradise, which is like a shitty thing to say when it's like, when a couple's arguing. It's like, there's like an undercurrent of romantic love there. And it's like, Twin Land's not a place. It's not a thing. It's like, the twins aren't getting along. It's like, you're putting too much on these twins. You're imagining like, it's like, oh, wow, these twins, they're telekinetic and magic and they have a perfect relationship. And now they're fighting. It's like, oh, not as perfect as I thought. It's like, no one said any of this. This is
all
in
your head. Jody. It's just Jody writing this like fanfic about these twins.
Yeah.
When did you know that Liana was going to end up dead?
I think the moment like three people were like, I fucking hate Liana. It's like, it's kind of like, and the fact that we don't see her from the beginning, it's like, this is like, you're the girl, you're walking into a trap, run.
I know.
I was like, Liana's the only person I want to know at this point.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I mean, like, she, I guess she, you know, she does laugh at Cal and stuff like that, but it was sort of like, I was so like tired of all these people. I did do a good job of recreating the experience of like being at a party where you don't know anyone and your first impressions of everyone is like, you all seem like bad people. Mm-hmm. And so when Liana showed up, it's like, oh, maybe you're more fun to hang out with.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. I thought she was, I don't know. I thought she seemed interesting and like, I mean, maybe I was falling for what like she was trying to do, which is like, you know, make the supply of Liana like lower by not appearing in the book. And so I was like, what's the deal with her? Like, what's her situation?
So that you like really want to buy that stock.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Leave them wanting more.
Did you know that Liana was going to die, Lindsay?
Yeah. Well, I read the back of the book.
So you knew Liana died? Oh, right, because it says.
Yeah.
I never read the back of the book.
I know I remember when we did the episode on the train, which might also have been Carol Ellis. I don't remember. But we did the episode on the train and neither of us had read the back of the book. And we were like, I did not know what I was in for. And we both swore that we weren't going to read the back of the book anymore.
It was so weird. It was so weird. Okay, really fast rundown of that.
Yes.
Basically, these kids, they're on a trip on a train and they learn that a dead body is on the train with them. Oh my gosh, they find out that the dead body is this like weird kid that they knew in high school and like nobody really liked. But it turns out, what was the twist, Lindsay? It was
the twist is that they weren't actually dead.
He wasn't dead. He was pretending to be dead.
He was pretending to be a corpse
literally like with stage makeup and stinkiness. Someone.
You know what? This actually brings something else up.
I think it was that the person had died and their like best friend / ex-girlfriend possibly dressed up as their corpse.
Oh yes. No. It's the ex-girlfriend who was in the friend group. Mm-hmm. And she dressed up as her dead boyfriend's corpse to haunt them.
To punish them because she blamed them for his death.
This brings up something else, yes. Which is this sort of like if you think about that for more than a couple seconds, like, well, that wouldn't work in real life. You know, like, that just like the.
But you
like,
mean high school stage makeup wouldn't trick you into thinking that a corpse has come to life?
Yeah. And it feels like there's a similar thing like with the window where it's like she's like she saw something happening through the window. And it's so convenient what she's able to see and what she's not able to see, where it's like it is the kind of thing where like if I were reading this as like a screenplay, it'd be like, how are you shooting this? Like, what are we the audience seeing? Because it's like, you can see.
Yes. Exactly.
You can see blood on the wall. You can interpret movements and facial expressions enough to be like, oh, it seems like she's angry. And it seems like she has a piece of paper in her hands. Like there's some of these things that you can see so detailed, but it's like, I can't get a look at the face. I can't even tell.
Yeah.
Like, it's so convenient what she doesn't know and what she does know by looking through this window. It's like, I don't understand how this room is blocked.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Also, how much blood could there have been if it turned out that Sasha just like, so it turns out Sasha just pushed her really hard and broke her neck, but she hit a nail on the wall and that's where the blood was from. And I'm like, how much blood could there have been then? How could she really have like made out such a massive amount of blood?
Yeah. I was imagining like
binoculars.
Comic like a B movie like gusher level just like comic just amount like, of blood just like
smear of blood on the wall and then I'm like a nail
like head wounds bleed a lot but not that much
if you like hit a nail and drop immediately,
not if you can see first without binoculars. Yes, at first she's like, is it jam? And then she like realizes, oh yeah, I have these binoculars. And then looks and is like, oh, that's some weird red liquid. Maybe it's nail polish. But yeah, I this is a common problem in books like
this.
You
carry gallons of nail polish. You know, nail polish.
Oh no, her gallon of nail polish.
In huge bottles that cover a wall.
But this is something that Lindsay and I have encountered in many of these books, which is the question of the physics of the scene.
Yeah.
Where we're like, wait, they were standing where? And like, so you could see the tiny bracelet on her wrist, but you couldn't see her face. And like, you could, You saw the flowers and you could identify them as a dozen red roses.
The fact that she like saw the glinting in the snow, which was Sasha's bracelet that she like that fell off. But then the next morning she's like looking for it and there's glinting everywhere because of the sun shining on the snow. And she's like, oh, I guess it was just that. And I'm like, yeah, it probably was. Like, yeah. There's no fucking way that you picked out a bracelet.
Yeah.
And then the fact that Sasha goes back for it, what?
Even when she first sees the bracelet, it is like, again, like trying to imagine like, okay, what am I actually seeing right now? Where it's like, this figure is fat. No, wait, not fat. Just hunched over.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it's like, what is, it's just a shadowy blob, but a blinding light glinting of a bracelet. And it's like, you're seeing a blob with like, a flashing light. It's like this, none of this makes sense for like, if something's reflecting off it, there's gotta be light coming from it.
Yeah,
like, it
yeah.
just, the, it's, it,
I was extremely well, yeah, that weird. Was the other thing, by right? her overanalyzation of the fact that she's not using the trash cans that are right there. She's like, but there are trash cans
oh
right there.
Oh my God. The pages and pages about trash pickup. I was like, girl, the next day when she's like, there are the trash cans on the curb. Well then, why the hey was Leanne taking away trash down the hill? And I'm like, bitch, it was a body. You fucking know it. You know that shit wasn't jam.
She keeps checking for Leanna.
She's got a lot of trash to take.
Why? She is behaving as though she literally saw Leanna's like dead ass face.
Yeah. Dead face corpse.
And she's like, have you seen Leanna? Where's Leanna? Has anybody seen Leanna? What was up with that garbage? There was a figure and they were dragging. It was late at night. Where were you during the party? Blah, blah, blah. And then she doesn't call the police ever.
Mm-hmm. Never.
Which and I think when she finally finds out Leanna is dead, she goes, oh my God, Leanna's dead?
I know. And I was like, why weren't you thinking that?
Because jam. It was clearly jam. I think that they like that maybe some of that is a little bit trying to capture like the feeling of Rear Window, where it's like there's a sense of like it was like well, there was a murder over there, you know, and like trying to capture that sense.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. But like you always have the sense of like it's like, well, it's like he could be mistaken. Like you don't have a lot of evidence. Like you see an argument, you see him carrying a briefcase out, you see him like burying in the garden. And so like you do have a sense throughout Rear Window. If you've like watching for the first time, it's like, well, he could be just like bored and paranoid, or he could be right. And I think like the book is trying to replicate that feeling of like, is she imagining things or is it actually a murder? Like, can you get, but it is, it's just so obvious. Like, you know, the kind of book you're reading. So it's like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah. Well, and I think that the other, so this is trying to function as a whodunit, right? Yeah. Because that's the other issue, is that in Rear Window, and right, like you can only take so much of Rear Window without literally being Rear Window. So like there's a couple differences in that, and I think for the worse, in that this is trying to be a whodunit, so she can't see who the figure is, but she can see enough to kind of identify that it's someone from the house. And the other thing in Rear Window is that it has that iconic scene of him sending over
mm-hmm.
the girl and having to watch while the girl is in the house, the guy comes home, blah, blah, blah.
Legit suspense.
Yes.
So and that is so good and so scary. Whereas like this, nothing like that really happens. She kind of just like kind of sees the murder, doesn't really see it, sees some trash being taken out.
Yeah.
And
because
that's it.
Because like, I mean, as you're saying is like Rear Window is not a whodunit. It's like a this happen? And so like this is trying to do both like did this happen and if it did, who did it? Which is like compounding mysteries on top of each other, which means like they each like cannibalize each other a little bit. So like you lose the suspense from each one.
You know as the reader that she is dead. And so why are you bothering with this did it happen thing? Just do the whodunit. Just do the whodunit.
Yeah, just do the whodunit. Because
and
that's
there's
the
not nearly enough of that. For all that we get all these like motivations from people, which are like paper thin motivations, but like at least they're there. She never really like, there should be one-on-one time between Jody and each of the people she's on the trip with where she's like trying to figure out if it was them. It should just be like, accept right away that Leon is fucking dead.
Yeah.
And then try to figure out who in the house did it. as opposed to this, like, and then I waited, and then I was waiting some more, and then I went up the stairs, and then I went down the stairs, oh, and then I God. Waited for ribs, and while I was waiting for ribs, I had tea, and while I was waiting for tea, I had toast. No, I wasn't hungry. And yeah. So then I read a popular hearing, mechanic magazine, and no. then I read, and then I slept.
And yeah, like, I mean, I'm hearing steps, and I'm not hearing steps. And, like,
and
that
I'm
kind
hearing
of
a click, and I'm hearing a different click, and there are other clicks.
Like, I do think that, like, for me, like, the part of the book that worked for me was, like, in that moment where it's like, okay, like, you're, like, the jig is up, like, you know it's a murder, you know someone's after you, and, like, now it's, like, you know someone's, like, in the house. Like, it's like, well, then you start to get into that sort of, like, okay, like, someone is after me. Someone has a motivation to get me, yes. And, like, I have a reason to try to, like, resolve this.
Yeah,
and
I have to outsmart the person now.
Yeah, and it, yeah. like, if we could have had so, I would have loved it if we had a lot more than that leading up to it. Like, rather than this sort of, like, I'm being the world's most subtle detective and just, like, asking a bunch of boring-ass questions.
Yes.
If there was the sense of, like, of danger throughout, of, like, oh, like, if she was getting threats and, like, having these sort of threatening things like the phone click and stuff like that so much earlier, you would have this sense of, like, mounting terror of, like, you're in a cat and mouse game and the cat is getting closer and closer. And instead it's just, like,
Yeah. Because that's the other, like, because then it just feels kind of manufactured. Like, when I like once this happens, but the moment that it does happen, I was like, is when the person that's, like, dragging the shit around outside see, like, looks up at her as she's mm-hmm. looking through the, now the problem
again, rear
me,
window, again, a rear
yeah,
window moment.
Yeah. Again, rear I think window, it's just because of rear window. But I mean, that moment. Also, I was like, well, like, if the moon is glinting down, like, over there, then it can't be glinting down over here. You know what I'm saying? Like, the if we have
the
to
blocking
triangulate,
doesn't make sense. Yeah. For yeah. Like, how is the light hitting one of these things and not the other? And
right,
what is this?
Right.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, whatever. But, like, and what I would have liked, too, is if there was a little bit more danger of... Because there is a little bit of that planting where, like, Sasha sees that she, like, wrote her name in the fog on the glass window that looks out onto Liana's.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have – oh, and then this is the other thing because this is similar. So I didn't like that, like, there wasn't enough danger with that. And then also there were, like, no consequences for literally everybody seeing that she has the binoculars in her bed. like everyone's just like, weird.
That's actually a really good point because you could have ramped up the tension a lot more if, like, someone had taken them or something and says, Jody being kind of creepy over there. We'll leave you to it because we're all bad people too.
Except for, I guess, Chris, who's, I mean, just mean to her all the time.
Yeah.
Who's like, so you're... I mean, she doesn't even really, she just kind of gives her shit, I guess. She's not even that mean about
it. Yeah.
Well, she's kind of, it's certainly a bitchy tone. She's like, somebody's a little peeper.
Yeah. but also, like, if someone, like, to that point, if someone had, like, seen the binoculars and freaked out and taken them, one, it would have, like, justified, like, Jody feeling weird about spying in the first place, where it's like, oh, yeah, people, like these people, she has, like, alienated herself from these strangers who she's trapped with. And it also, like, takes away that thing that, like, the tool she has. And it also is like, did they take these away because they're hiding something or because I'm being a little peeper? Like, there's so much more you could have done with using these tools at your disposal. It just sort of, like, it's the whole thing feels kind of flabby.
Yeah. Also think, like, okay, now this may have complicated things a little bit too much. So I would say this should be in place of something else. But I think, like, when she keeps asking all these fucking questions and is being so obsessed with Liana, and then Liana shows up dead, like, I feel like some people in the house should have been like, okay, well, like, I know your ankle's sprained, but, like, you're always alone at the house when we go, and Liana shows up fucking dead, and you've been staring at her through the window, like, I don't know,
well,
like, I feel like...
all at the end, and so there's just no opportunity to do anything with that.
None.
Yeah.
I also think, okay, we have a problem here and that we have in a lot of these books, which is that Carol Ellis is trying to, like, red herring everybody, but their behavior is unacceptable if they're not the killer.
Yeah.
Like, the way
Why won't they fucking answer a simple question? Yeah,
and
Kate's the worst of all
Kate,
of them.
Kate, when she's like, oh, yeah, so anyway, like, I was watching Liana. And she's like, you need to stop asking fucking questions about Liana. You need to stop thinking about Liana. Don't look at Liana. Stop looking out the window.
It'll only get you in trouble. Yeah. And I'm like, in what way?
Yeah. And then with all the shit like, of her, really like, not picking up.
I was, like, I was equally horrified and amused imagining the Kate-Jody friendship. Because sort of like, because, like, she's just this, like, you know, blank slate. And it is like, when she's like, oh, hi, I hurt my ankle and I'm trapped in it. I wanted to call you and it's like, what the? You're supposed to be getting fucking reconnaissance on Cal. And you know who Cal's fucking at all times. Shut the fuck up about Joanna. Get out of the bed.
Fucking
you think sprained ankle is an excuse to not be telling me what Cal's doing at all times? Like, what is this friendship? Like, what?
She's
like, bitch, why do you think I fucking sent you on that fucking
She's like,
trip?
If I wasn't laid up with the fucking flu, I would beat your ass, you dumb bitch.
Like, I would murder you just like I murdered Liana.
I mean, what? Stop asking questions.
Like, such a...
You're getting
so
too close.
Mean.
And then, like, the book ends. Kate had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I know. And so that's
what was
I was
all
like,
that, Kate?
Kate.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I you know how... Okay, and that was the other thing where she's like, I had the flu. And Jody's like, well, I've never known the flu to change someone's personality before. And I'm like... Yeah, me neither, Jody. I think your friend killed Liana.
Because there's a difference between, like, I'm grumpy because I'm sick, and I am, like, fucking psychotic when it comes to this mean girl.
Yeah. Where, like, yeah, a difference between I'm grumpy versus I'm trying to cover up a murder.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. Just whenever I get the flu, I always seem like I am a murderer.
Oh, okay, so I did I wrote a hypothetical in my notes of that it would be so funny if, so she's taking these like pain pills, right? And I was like, what if she just hallucinated the murder? And she just hallucinated it and all this shit comes from her just being like, I saw this murder.
I would like applaud this book then, yeah, because that would be a hell of a twist.
Then there would be a reason to have that sort of doing the both the whodunit and did this happen thing.
Yes,
where it's like,
exactly.
Oh, we wanted you to think this was a murder mystery, but it's actually, there's nothing here.
There's literally nothing and you've wasted.
You wasted your time. You shouldn't have done this and this was a mistake.
I was weirdly like compelled by Jody's, I was compelled by Jody watching everyone around her and being like the one person they all kind of confide in just because she's like new. But then every time it would just default to her waiting, I was like, what are we doing? How is she this boring?
It felt like when you, like, if you've ever read someone's, like early, you know, writing, screenplay, books, whatever it is, and it's that sort of thing where it's like, well, I don't want to make my protagonist, like, too unlikable, so they just become this, like, there's just nothing there. They're a total cipher for either the reader or the writer, where it's just like, I have no personalities, I have no flaws, I'm here to witness, you know? Yeah.
I'm one of the two witnesses of the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's just really fucking nothing. She's nothing, nothing, nothing person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you, and the thing is, like, you could have maybe done something with it, because, like, the one trait they kind of give her that, like, other characters comment on is this sort of, like, oh, like, is that she's perceptive. You know, it's like, oh, like, you see everything. You're always, like, the wheels are turning in there. Like, you're good. You're, like, a judge of character, which
is,
like,
watcher.
Kind of something, maybe. But then, like, but the fact that she doesn't really do much with it means that it's, like, not really... You don't
you know
get to
what?
See her like enact
that
characteristic.
Yeah,
she
could
have like a diary or something.
Strength.
She could have like a little journal. Okay, maybe I'm just doing Harriet the Spy. But she could have like a little journal where she's always writing shit down or like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, something that would create some stakes. Like, I guess, or like just something more. Because it really, or like that point where like Drew, after she's sprained her ankle and Drew comes in and like talks to her. And he's like, well, I noticed that you really see stuff. And she's like, and he's like, yes. What did you see last night? That too. I'm like, why is he asking that if not to be a red herring?
Yeah.
And she's like,
well, that is it, to be a red herring. And
just to be
more.
A red herring.
There has to be, for a book to be good, like truly a good murder mystery that has a bunch of red herrings, when you look back, you have to understand why somebody's behavior seems so suspicious.
Yeah.
But it truly is, and that is the case with almost all of these books. It truly just is that, no, I just wanted him to be a red herring, so I was having them act like a fucking jackass.
Yeah, it's the writer's hand instead of the character's hand, like moving things around. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was really intrigued by that weird kiss of Drew's, though, where it's like he kissed her like in anger or like,
oh yeah,
I don't know, it was just like, I've never seen a kiss described by that, and I was like, ooh, that could be a little sexy.
I thought it was a little bit sexy, but it was weird because I didn't interpret it as angry until later when she was like, he kissed me so angrily, and I was like, he did?
Yeah.
Because I didn't notice that he did in the original.
It was a weird like moment to be kissing her. It was like, oh yeah. It's so much crazier. It sounds like, no, you absolutely killed Liana, because he says, well, I don't have to worry about her ever again. And I was like, what?
Yeah. I'll leave you something to think about. And then he just like walks out.
There's also something so strange to me about Drew in general, because like, I feel like, there were a lot of characters being like, it's like, oh, he's so moody or he's so brooding. But like actually like seeing him, like the stuff that he did, it was just like, it's like, this guy's just a grumpy, he's a wet blanket. It's like everything fun that came up was like, oh, that sounds dumb. So everyone's like, Drew's fucking hot. I was like, what, Drew? What are you talking about, Drew?
Literally, my last line or my last note, ugh, she ends up with Drew, what a dud. Because he was like, and that was the other thing when, okay, there's a moment where she...
I'm like totally on the other side, because to me, he's the only one who makes any sense, because Sasha keeps coming up with stupid ass activity after activity. I do not like a fucking vacation planner who's like, now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. Now we're going to do this.
Sasha has a real mandatory fun problem.
Exactly.
But I like that she was like, oh, it's not,
Cal
is
lame, Billy is sad. And so to me, Drew is the only one who makes any sense. He's like, I don't want it. Great, you ordered a sub party. I thought that we were just going to like hang out at the house for a casual night. But now I'm like signed up for a party, I guess. Now I'm signed up for this, I guess. And I was like, yep, me and Drew.
I wrote at one point, Drew is a wet blanket and everyone's hot for him. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't mark what page I had that thought. So I don't know exactly what made me do that. I feel like.
Well, it's probably that I am a wet blanket and I am hot. And so I was just like, yeah, I got this.
But I didn't like, there was a point where she like, where I was like, girl, date someone else, when she was like, so she sees him. Oh, and actually he's in a good mood. And Chris is there. And it's when they're eating in the cafeteria place in the lodge, and
he only gets in that place.
Yeah, I did not know what that thing was. And then at the end when they were like, and then the waiter, and I was like, there was a waiter? Like, I didn't even know there was a waiter. I didn't know there was table service. But so in that moment, he's like in a good mood until she's like, oh, Liana. And he's like, I have to go. And just fucking leaves. But in the moment that she sees him, she's like, you know, when he's actually in a good mood, he's pretty fun to be around. I was like, don't date someone that's only fun to be around when they're in a good mood. Like, to me, that just seemed like, I was like, you aren't even like 3 years into this relationship and he's like kind of letting loose, being a dud around you. Like, straight up, you're just meeting this guy and he's just like, wow, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And like, No, that's me.
So that's why I understand. All I do is go, I don't want to do that. I hate plans. I hate fun. I hate games. I hate parties. Chris sucks.
Who?
Wow. Sasha sucks. Who? Right? It's pretty hot.
Yeah, it is pretty hot.
You guys get it now.
But like, I was like, not that I wanted her to end up with Billy, because like Billy
has
his own
shit. I hear what you guys
are
saying, but.
Yeah.
But the whole time, I was like, I don't know. I just think everybody else on the trip sucks. And so Drew's behavior makes sense to me.
Well, everyone on the trip was insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess I'm proposing that she not date any of these monsters.
That she go home alone.
Yes.
Because at first I was like, maybe Billy. But Billy has his own like weird shit he has to deal
Billy's
with.
Troubled.
Billy's
troubled.
A future incel. Billy is like, he's got that strong, like nice guy vibes of like, I'm just trying to make a joke and everyone hates me and the world's out to get me. And it's like, you're like 5 years away from turning into like a very, very bad kind of person.
Yeah, all he has to do is talk to one other guy that's just like him, and then they'll decide that no, they're right and everyone else is wrong.
Totally.
I know. I feel like there was a moment where I did feel really bad for him. And then, okay, so when he was like talking about how he felt like an idiot because Sasha knew that the rug that he spilled on wasn't super expensive, but like
she was making him feel like an idiot.
That I was like, oh man, yeah, that does suck. And then he was like, and that means I hate her. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know, Billy. I don't know if you hate her for that.
Like, I was
intrigued by that, though.
I mean, like, I won't, but I could. Yeah. Please keep me in mind when you're trying to imagine if someone might kill someone.
Bookmark this moment in your mind. But it was intriguing to me that, like, the statement was, I hate Sasha, and Jody was like, oh, no, some mean person wrote this because they know he loves Sasha. And she goes to, like, tell him it wasn't her who wrote that statement in the kitchen. And I was very surprised when he was like, because it's true, I do hate Sasha. And I was like, oh, I didn't see that, like, mm-hmm. like slight turn on that coming.
But also, weird assumption on Billy's part to be like, you know who wrote this slip? Jody, for sure. The stranger. And
like, yeah, because everyone, also, like,
we could be friends.
Yeah, like,
everyone
that,
else
that
in this book
jump.
Makes wild assumptions, except for Jody, who's like, maybe jam, maybe nail polish. She's like, this is the time to jump to the big conclusion here. Like,
yeah. She's the only one who needs to be coming to any conclusion, yeah. Yeah. And she is the only one who is not.
Yeah. Yeah, because the fact that he thought that she, like, psychoanalyzed the conversation that they had, which was him being like, I have this crush on Sasha, and I don't feel confident in myself, and I know that I'm the class clown, and I have to be because, like, otherwise no one will like me. Two, I secretly hate Sasha. Like, the fact that he thought that she was smart enough to, mm-hmm. like, pull that apart shows that he's pretty stupid. Or just, like, narcissistic,
it's just, like,
you know?
Weird. It's yeah. just, how could he think that anybody... He's saying, like, I didn't even realize it myself until it was said. It's like, well, so then how do you think she realized
yeah.
it?
Like, trust me. You have not been in
peeper.
Jody's head.
She's a little
yeah.
peeper peeping on things, peeping shit out.
A little peeper brain. She knows. She knew it before I knew it.
And meanwhile, Jody's just like, look at all these sandwiches.
Yeah.
She's just and like, everybody's not. Like, do you see the wheels in her mind turning, constantly turning?
Yeah, just like just a cartoon cow dancing inside.
Yeah. All yeah. wide open. And the little psychiatrist over on her couch analyzing all of us.
Her little like, eyes jam? See everything. She, there, the puppet master, sees it all. She's like, what? She... List all the drinks for me again?
Yeah, she's like, how many cows do I know?
Yeah.
Just like thinking. Everyone's just like, oh my god, she knows
mastermind at work.
I mean, she, and it's pretty weird that everyone thinks, because she has given no one any reason to think she's actually that smart. She just doesn't really talk very much, I guess.
Well, that's yeah, how I got by true. Through high school.
Yeah, you just stay quiet.
People I just like, didn't say anything and everybody's like, she's so serious and smart.
I've never heard her say anything dumb, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's like that Mark Twain quote that people love to quote.
Yeah.
Right? What is it like, you know, keep
better
your
to
mouth
be
shut,
thought
stupid.
An idiot than yeah, that whole thing. Shut the oh, yeah, fuck up and no one will
it's
think
like,
you're a dumbass.
Better
Mark Twain.
Not to be like, shutting the fuck up, you stupid idiot.
Stupid ass.
Yeah.
Wow, what a, like one of the greatest wits of our country.
Can we talk a bit about, maybe this is jumping too far ahead, but
no.
like the moment when Sasha and Jody are finally like, it's showdown time. Like Jody's like in the bedroom, Sasha's there and it's like, oh, I guess you figured it out. And even then Jody still hasn't like figured what out.
She's so stupid. And Sasha's like, I am the killer. I killed. And she's like, you what? You put jam on the wall? Yeah. I was like,
why were you over at Liana's with jam?
The single smart thing that like Jody does this whole book is in like the latter half of that conversation. I say the latter half because it's like there's like a lot of like villain monologuing before it's like, mm-hmm. and now I will kill you. And then the chapter break. And then so the next chapter it's like, by which I mean I will talk some more.
Yeah. But first you must know why.
But at some point, Jody's like, why? why did you move the body at all? That makes no sense. This is a huge plot hole. You make no reason for any character to move the body. And Sasha's like, oh, I guess you're right. Well, I didn't do that, and so here we are. And it truly felt to me like it was just the author being like, oh, this is a plot hole I can't explain, so I'm just going to say that this character was stupid and didn't think about that.
Carol Ellis completely. Is getting to the final moments, and she's like, and so that's when I came up with my, oh, she could have just not moved the body.
Yeah.
I'll throw it in.
Yeah. We'll just lampshade this, and now no one can tell me that's a plot hole.
Some editor...
go back and rewrite the book.
Yeah. Right. Some editor was like, well, you know the whole thing doesn't matter if, and she's like... And so she's just like, one line.
What if one character just goes like, why didn't you do this? The other one says, I don't know.
Perfect.
Great, good. Let's send it to print.
I do kind of love that happening in fiction because it happens all the time in real life. It's like, why didn't you? I don't know.
Yeah, because I was an idiot. I wasn't thinking.
I wasn't thinking right. But in this case, it does seem more like covering a base.
Yeah, it's also so much more work to try to cover up a murder than just sort of be like, I'm just gonna slink out and pretend I wasn't here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple of moments at that end where it's like that, like the continuous monologuing like makes no sense. Also the fact that like Sasha cut the phone line instead of just like unplugging it. It's like you're just leaving evidence. Like you don't have to cut that line. It's not like you're sneaking into a house or people are there and you can't access the phone jacks. Like you're the only other person in a house. You can unplug that phone and not leave any evidence.
Literally at the part where it plugs into the wall.
Yeah.
Like she could It's the same motion. And also, like, cutting with a knife, that's probably pretty hard. I mean, just pull it out.
And she's trying to be quiet, like they mentioned, too. It's like, I can tell someone's trying not to make noise down there. And it's, like, probably louder to, like, jam it around with a knife, like, clink, 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 you know?
Yeah. She's like, oops.
Oops.
My favorite part of Sasha's brilliant plan is when... she's like, I know I have plenty of time in which to kill you because I told everyone to throw you a surprise party.
Yeah.
And so I put Billy in charge of that. And I put Cal in charge of this. And I put Drew in charge of this other thing. And so I've got plenty of time in which to kill you. And I was like, well, what's the plan after that? You go back and you're like, I discovered her dead body. And it's like, all that does is indicate that you were the last person.
Well, because even
in
there,
that house with her, and that you had a shit ton of time in which to be the murderer, Sasha. This is the absolute worst plan. All you've
and
done
also
is
that
completely
you were like,
set yourself up as the killer.
If you had written the YA murder mystery novel that was just that part of the story, right, where it's like, well, we were all hanging out and having a party, and then one person said, we're going to have a surprise party for this stranger we've never met before. You all stay busy for a few hours, and I'll go get her. And then came back and was like, she is dead. It's like,
exactly.
Well, there's no...
It's like, well, you're no suspect mystery. Number one.
Yeah, like, she also, like, it's hard for her to get around because of her little ank. So why not have the surprise party at the house? Like there's so much, like, weird,
yeah, like,
wrong
Sasha's like,
planning.
And then I'm going to take you back. And I was like, were you gonna like literally carry her like a baby? Like she's not strong.
No.
Yeah. And everybody knows exactly where Jody is in her recovery. So it's not like she can excuse that away.
Doesn't Jody call it out? Like, isn't she like, well, what are you gonna do when you show back up to them without me?
And she goes, just tell them what a tragedy had happened. I'm like, Sasha, are you listening to yourself? Yeah.
They also, Kelly, talking about her ankle again, is like, that was just like another thing. It's like, you didn't really use this. Like, if you're going to have that moment where, like, she's got a knife, she's coming at you, like, I want to see the scene where you're trying to escape, but you've got a busted ankle. And
she's just sitting on a bed.
And instead it's just like, let's talk a bit about, let's make sure we sort out all the plot holes before we wrap this book up.
Yeah, well, like, I know it's really unfair to keep comparing this to Rear Window, but
it's
like
not
it
that
the comparison.
It's not it unfair does. Because that's what this is.
Yeah.
But like literally his broken leg comes into play. Like, yeah. He cannot run away from the guy. And his camera comes into play. His mm-hmm. camera being the thing that he uses to see the murder is the thing that he uses to try and slow down the guy to come towards him.
Which, to be fair, Jody does chuck those binoculars at Sasha.
Okay. Those, like I said, Chekhov's binoculars. Which, yeah. He does... like right in the fucking side.
Binoculars, my one weakness.
Her face also, starts to melt off.
Yeah.
No, like, no, not binoculars.
I'm allergic.
But like, okay, binoculars though are heavy as shit. I was actually surprised that Sasha didn't like die.
It knocked her flat. Yeah. Like she didn't like, die, but it did knock her out.
Ugh. Because if you get hit in the temple, you can freaking die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It knocked her.
But she was, I mean, she did get down for a little bit, but then. And then she stabs Cal because Cal knew.
Well, just everybody
very conveniently. Yeah. That's true. I at first I was sort of like, it's like, this is such like a stupid, like juke and weave thing here where it's like, no one's going to come because they're all busy. And it's like, we came anyway, just because. Yeah. And it's like, well, that. It's such a stupid setup. But to your point, Lindsay, I suppose, like, yeah, it's a stupid story anyway. Of course they shouldn't have taken that seriously.
Yeah, they all should have been like, wait, Sasha wants us to what now?
But at the same time,
that can't be right. Let's go talk with her. Let's make sure that this is what she wants.
I feel like, the thing that bugs me, and of course, you know, a lot of things bug me about this book, but something that bugged me about this was that, kind of what you were saying, it was like this manufactured obstacle of like, oh, well, I told them all to stay at the lodge, so they did. No, they didn't. They're here. They are going to stop me from killing you. But then at the same time, I don't know. I guess I would have rather, like, the reason why somebody came back to the house.
Be a reason?
Yeah, actually be a reason.
Instead like, of twin psychicness?
Like, or something that was, like, seeded before, right? Like, maybe something due to Sasha's own, like, over-planning or something, right? Like, or like, something...
I think she was trying to plant like the twin psychicness as being a thing, like of being sort of like they have this thing, but it's such like a, cause like it's like the first things you see about them, but it's such like a bullshit thing that it like, it doesn't feel like a real reason for them to be like, I've figured it out. It ultimately does just come down to like, oh yeah, I had a feeling that this was screwed. This didn't add up. So we're just going to all go back. Supremely unsatisfying.
Yeah. Or
okay, what if it was? Okay, what if it was? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I know this is, the timing's a little suspect, but whatever. So you know how they're twins and they have this twin connection, and she could feel that like they were kind of falling apart, right? And so everything she's doing is
to re-solidify that relationship,
right? But what if in the moment that she kills, it breaks their twin connection? And he doesn't really realize, like, he's like, oh, I didn't, like, feel you anymore or whatever. And he then, like, looking back, maybe when he's at the lodge or whatever, he's like, I realized that, like, I stopped feeling connected to you. Like, I felt the connection sever or whatever 3 nights ago. And that was the night that she died. Mm-hmm. And, like, well, that would
have to be a book that leans a little harder into it actually being, like,
Shining psychic kind of thing. I'm thinking like the weird mysticism level of like Caroline B. Cooney's Twins.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Where it's like at the it's like way harder at the beginning. Like it's really going hard on the twin connection thing.
Yeah.
But
I mean, at least that would be like a justification. Like because it ultimately it's like, I think what makes that feel at least a little appealing is the feeling that we've established this rule. This is a thing that exists. And like this, it's not just like, oh, we've got this intuition because we're so close to each other. It's like, oh no, we have psychic powers or whatever. And like, that can now be a device that is used. And like, when it is just sort of like, oh, we just kind of like, we know things about each other. We just, we intuit things. Then it's like, there's no action to drive the story.
No.
The characters can just sort of be like, oh yeah, I just kind of felt that this was right. And like, oh, cool. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that does sort of seem justified in him actually being suspicious is when Ellen explains to Jody after the fact that Cal had told Ellen, like, well, she said that we were together that whole night, but we weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So that is it, like an actual indication. It's
actually a clue.
Like,
yeah. Like you were lying.
Sasha
about this.
Lied about us being together all night. Why?
Yeah.
There was also a clue that I picked up on as a reader, but Jody did not pick up on it being Sasha. Mm-hmm. When Sasha like keeps calling
And it's quiet and it's on silent. The other side. Yeah. I'm at this rockin' party.
Yeah, and she's like, where are the people? And she's like, oh, they haven't gotten here yet. And then she's like, okay, well, tell everybody else it's there. Not
everyone's
to call me.
Mouths are so full of subs, they can't talk. It's just quiet chewing sounds over here, but it's
pretty
rocking.
Everyone's so fucked up off subs.
Yeah, everyone's deep-throating subs left and right and just can't make a sound.
They're eating like ducks. It's just opening the gullet and shoving it down.
And then she's just like, tell them. And it's like, well, then how are they going to be able to call me? I guess they've like swallowed the subs.
And then the rest of the night, everybody still keeps calling her. And she's like, I guess the night really is crazy and nobody's encountering each other. And it's like, Jody. I think in that moment, I was like, it's maybe Sasha. But then I forgot about it being Sasha when Kate was acting so crazy.
I was so confused by who was going to what party and when and how. I was like, so you guys didn't like talk about who was gonna call at which hour? You were all just like, and then one of us will call at the top of the hour. I was
yeah.
like, well, then what if like all of you call, or what if none of you call? Like, did you not like schedule out the remainder of the night? And what do you mean you haven't seen anybody? And like, where are these parties going? Well, what do you mean the parties move from one cabin to the other? Like, what?
This is what happens when
weekend.
The group doesn't have Sasha. Sasha's
That's
the
true.
Planner.
That's
and Sasha's
true.
Out murdering
they
someone.
Have
they just
Everybody's
evolved into chaos.
Like, what?
They
no.
just start, I guess we'll go to a party over there now. Did anyone call Jody? Everyone call Jody now.
Yeah. They're like, everybody get on the fucking ground. We gotta call Jody.
shit.
Everyone put the fucking sub down. I'm calling Jody.
Jody, do you have a concussion? Do you have a concussion, Jody?
Do you need a sub? Jody, do you need a sub? Do you want ribs? Jody, though this like fucking lodge restaurant that I told you only hamburgers are good at, when they do this other dinner, everything's great for some reason.
I was very
and I'm
suspicious
gonna bring
of
you
that.
A piece of everything. And I was like, I thought only hamburgers were good, Drew. What is all of this ribs and sausage and whatever the fuck they're serving?
Also, did you think that Jody was at least going to be a really good skier when she was talking about how she's a pretty good skier? Like, I was just trying to, like, come up with... Well, she was okay, but she, like, didn't even try the orange peel thing, which I was like, I thought she would at least try.
It's, like, another piece of this sort of, like, we want this character to be a cipher for anyone, so they can't be extraordinarily good or bad at anything. They just have to be this sort of, like, middle-of-the-road, uninteresting in everything that they do.
Yeah. Because, like, it would be... I don't know. I guess
personally average.
Yeah.
I guess it could be like a little more interesting if she like, you know, is really quiet. And the only reason she agreed to go on this trip was because she loves skiing so much and she's good at skiing. And then she sprains her ankle and she can't even ski anymore. And she's stuck at this place with people she doesn't know and she can't even ski. But of course, that's not what happened. So I don't even know why.
That would make a lot more sense. It would justify why she was there, like why she went.
Why she'd be there.
Yeah.
Although I will say it does sound really miserable to... with a sprained ankle, haul all your ski gear down on a bus.
Totally.
Which that I was like, I kind of get why she's sticking around for a ride home. Like, that seems like a nightmare.
Totally. I'm still hung up on like the fact that she went in the first place, which obviously, we've talked about that.
I mean, if we're being real, this book should never have happened.
No,
it
should have
been
two pages
long. It
should have
been a story about a girl named Jody who got a call from her friend Kate, telling her that she had the flu and couldn't go on the ski trip. And she goes, I guess I won't either. Oh, look, a movie's playing at the mall in 20 minutes.
No, end Jody, you have to spy for me.
Like, oh, Kate, no, that I'm doesn't make connection. Sense. Goodbye.
And then this whole murder happens and she's none the wiser because she doesn't know these people. So she never would have heard about this murder.
It's like in Last Vampire Book 6, spoiler, if you want to jump ahead, when at the end of the book, or if you want to plug your ears, Mike, at the end of the book, Sita is given the opportunity again to kill Yaksha in the womb. And this time she's just like, yeah, boom, kills him.
Yeah, done.
So it's like the that. End. And then the whole series never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
The end.
There's something at the very end where we're doing like, you know, denouement number 5 or whatever. We're just like, we're time to wrap up all the loose ends. But, like, there's a moment where, like, there's this sort of vibe of like, well, that was pretty terrible, but at least she gets to hang out with Drew some more. And like, and, which is like, mine's like, that's a booby prize if ever I heard one.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But there's also this sort of thing of like, I can't remember the specific line, but there's something like, it's like, they like have like a cheeky joke about like remembering this trip where it's like I won't be forgetting this trip for a while.
Yes. No. Yeah, where she's like, I don't want anything that reminds me of this trip. And Drew's like, not even me, because I guess I would remind you because I was on the trip with you too.
Yeah,
and
he so over explains it.
Yeah, and she's like, I understand now.
I get it.
I do want to see you.
Like, happily to have that moment of just like, yeah, it's like, no, like, it's like, that part's okay. We're feeling great.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
you, someone just tried to murder you. Like, yeah. I actually don't know if that would be okay. Like, you might want to be like, no, gonna need a few months to
especially
just sort
since
of,
there was like a good day or so where I thought you might have done it.
Because you said, I never have to worry about Joanna again. And then you kissed me angrily and ran away. And I am still thinking about that. So,
well, and the fact
and could
that
we
like,
talk about that, in fact,
well, and the fact that like there are some people in this group of children who
or 40-year-olds who's to
or
say
40, yeah, who did feel fucked up by what happened. Like Billy was like, I can't see anybody. Oh,
yeah,
this
Chris
was the part
they were like I will never forget when Billy stroked her hair.
Okay, I wrote this down. I transcribed this because I was very confused by it. So Jody knew she'd never forget the look on Billy's face as he put his hand on Sasha's head and stroked her long dark hair. And this is as he's like tackling her to the ground to stop her from stabbing her twin and Jody to death.
Yes.
So to me, I was like that felt very like weird and like kind of like blue velvety. Like it felt so like strange and like off-putting, like that he's like, and like stroking her hair while he's like pushing her to the ground to stop her from killing people.
Yes, Sasha, like, yes. Yes, I'm gonna be okay.
Yes.
Billy, take it down if you're not.
No, my beautiful Sasha, she's going to be fine.
No, Sasha, no.
I clocked that as a weird moment. I went back and forth on it a little bit. Because, like, on the one hand, it's like that's such a strange, like, detail to throw in there. And on the other hand, like, it was so weird and specific that there was a part of me that was, like these are weird specific things these people are doing, and it's a weird specific moment that, like, it feels like it's like, I don't know, maybe that is how, like, that does feel like maybe kind of right for Billy, who clearly has a very complicated relationship with Sasha, who loves her and hates her and is, like, and is saving the day and tackling her and, like, is going to, like, it may, you know, like, he's the one who's like, it's like, you're going away to prison, but maybe also is still just like, it's like,
well,
I feel like there's probably like some sense of like, I don't know what the feeling is for you, but I have feelings. So I've like, I've got you, I've tackled you, and this isn't pure anger still. There's still like some tenderness in there.
I'll wait for you.
I accept the moment.
We don't get out of prison.
Sorry, I'm just doing murder voices underneath while you're making
a fun murder
point.
I accept the moment of like, okay, I understand this is like a he's in love with her. He's just had to tackle the woman he loves to the ground because it turns out she's a murderer. Wow, what could he be feeling?
Yeah.
What I thought was so weird about that moment, because it did also stand out to me, is it specifically says like, and it would be a long time before Jody could forget the look on Billy's face as he stroked her hair.
Yeah,
and I was
she
just
knew
like,
she'd never forget it.
Yeah. And I was just like, well, do you want to like maybe describe
what's the
look
thing
on his face?
Because yeah. What was it? Like the
maybe she'll
know.
Never forget it, but like personally, I can't even visualize it.
Yeah, we've never
like,
known
I don't
it.
Know what it looks like. Maybe share. I don't know. Just a thought.
That's true. It's a very different vibe depending on what that face is.
Yeah, is he weeping
like,
with joy?
Is he like growling? Is he like looking at her lovingly? Is he like expressionless and it's kind of like disturbing for that reason? Is he like really stricken with like grief at what's going on? What was the look? I'm just saying,
that's
if
part
like,
of the genius
if, like,
of
there
this
was
book,
such
Lindsay.
A striking look, maybe tell us what the look was.
But that's like, part of the that's part of the genius of this book, because like we can all imagine different things and debate it.
Yeah, it is. It is totally like a Lovecraft thing where it's like, the horror is beyond description.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, then what
it's crazy,
it?
Man.
Like, that's just laziness.
No, it's to even think about it.
Yeah, but okay,
to
drive one insane. You should, like, die. No, okay, I heard it like from a man in a bar yeah. in a Yukon.
Yeah. I mean, and then that's what we saw. Like, and then that's kind of, I mean, I feel like maybe it is the same where if they tried to adapt this, into a movie, it'd be like the same kind of letdown as like a lot of Lovecraftian stuff that is adapted, where they're kind of like, I don't really know what this is gonna look like, but it's supposed to make you insane upon looking at it. So,
and it's just it's really like scary. Oh, that is really scary.
It's but really like, scary. I don't feel insane.
I feel stable. Like I can still like go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, and someone was like, hey, what did that thing look like? It was like, yeah, it was like an octopus on top of a bat. You know, it doesn't defy description. It was I got yeah. it. Yeah.
You can describe it.
I mean, yeah. if I had to nail it down, yeah.
I'd say it was like an octopus on a bat.
Like a bat-topus.
Writhing tentacles.
Bat-topus. Yeah. yeah. It was like that.
It was like that.
Yeah, maybe yeah. not the most suspense-filled book.
No.
No.
Even though that is the whole thing about Rear Window is Hitchcock was like a master of suspense. Yeah. Maybe if you're gonna do your own Rear Window, prioritize that a little yeah. more.
You know what it is, and I know that this is not an adaptation, but you and I have talked about this, Lindsay, which is if you're doing an adaptation of something, fine. If you're doing a take on something, you need to know what made that yes. first thing yes. so successful. Yes. You need to know yes. what you fucking liked about it. Not just exactly. like, well, isn't it kind of cool that she could like see the murder and like, that's scary, right? Like through the window.
It's like all these companies that are like reviving all of these IP or rebooting things are like, well, we own this title, so we're going to like make it into a TV show. And it's like, okay, but do you have a reason why? Or is it just like... Yeah.
Do you know
for
what
so
you
many
like
of things?
This.
It's like, yeah. no, it's just name recognition. It's just people went and saw Rear Window at the time. And so we're going to do Rear Window too. But like, you don't really understand what was so compelling about it.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely. Like, yeah, it's like totally like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like
it has none of it.
Dead I feel like I have like some like firsthand experience with this, just like making stuff for the internet where like, because you have you have access to all those metrics, and like every once in a while there'd be like some video or something where like, you know, even from like the script stage, you'd be like, oh, the script is very good, this is very funny, like I think this will do well, and then it'll do well, and then like my boss would be like, wow, this video did incredible, like we need to do this, we need to replicate this, we need to do it again. And it's like, I think the secret sauce was this, and it'll always be something insane. It'll be like, it'd be like, there was a dog in the video. That's what did it. It's like, no, I think it was just like good and funny, and yeah, it was yeah. kind of like, novel. It was something it was people hadn't seen before. Yeah.
Yeah.
This like, is no, okay.
Let's talk you about more what? Dog. How can we get more dogs into our videos? Like, God.
Okay, people want that dog.
That's literally, okay, this is like what it is to get gifts from my mother. So like when I was in high school, I remember anything I wanted, because my mom would have me make like a list of stuff I'd want for like, and so she would know what to get me because my mom doesn't like to try. Mm-hmm. And so she'd be like, make a list for what you want for like your birthday or Christmas or whatever. And I remember like she would take just like one aspect of the thing I wanted and then just get me something else that also had that aspect, but not necessarily at all. Like I just
That's
remember.
So funny. Like, you wanted a sweater that has holes in it, so I got you a cheese grater, too.
Yes, yes. Like, truly, like, I remember wanting this, like, little quilted black, like, it was like a wallet but had a chain around it, kind of like those Chanel ones, but like a purse. And I remember I really wanted that, but I knew I wasn't going to get an actual Chanel one because my mom refused to get me that kind of stuff. A lot's happening over on Lindsay's screen right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, sorry. Mike got home, and so I was, like, trying to choose a virtual background that I didn't fade into to, like, give him his privacy.
Look, Lindsay, you're at the
I'm at the North
you're at the ski
Shore
resort.
My mom used to work there in Tahoe.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that's cool. I really liked this artwork of it, but yeah, it's very cool and it's like the book.
That is like the book. That's cool. But yeah, I remember she just like ended up getting me like a purse that was black. because the one I wanted was black. And I was like,
and that's what was compelling about it.
And yeah, the one she exactly. got you was just like covered in like studs and buckles. And
it literally, Lindsay, it was. And I was like,
I know what would make a seemingly okay purse color on appetizing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it was nothing like the thing I wanted, but it was always stuff like that where it would be like, you know, I'd want like, you know, this was in middle school, like the shoes that were popular.
Yeah.
And my mom would be like, oh, okay, well, like, this is the same brand of shoe, but like not at all the type. Like when Converses were cool, my mom just did not get me Converses and instead got me like just other, like I wanted All-Stars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Of course, because that's what everybody was wearing.
Right.
But she ended up getting me like the one other brand, like the one other
Converse
type of
sandals.
Shoe. And I remember just being like, I don't think I've ever seen these shoes.
Where did you find this?
I was like, where are
I had to dig through a lot of bins to find this shoe. I hope you like it.
But I was just like,
I know you love Converse, so I got you these. I got you these Converse shoe boxes to wear. Yeah.
It was, but it's like that where it's like, oh, this thing. Yeah, that's that. That's what makes it desirable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People love somebody being injured and seeing a crime happen next door. It's like, no, people love being scared and not knowing what's going to happen and seeing somebody
windows.
In danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They love windows. They love hurt ankles.
They love peeping.
This is jumping back a bit, but you reminded me when we were talking about this sort of it's like I will never forget Billy's face in that moment, which is like super early in the book. There's like it's like a chapter, one of these like chapter breaks that also like that lead to nothing, where it's like big chapter break, and then the next page is like no, never mind, forget it.
Yeah, two days later.
Yeah, but it's like there's a chapter break where it's like she like Jody looked back at Chris and her face was a mask of hatred or something like that. It's like contorted into a mask of hatred. It's like, oh Jesus, like
yeah,
like
yeah.
And like imagine like the, like that phrase, like to me, like it's like if you tell me like her face was contorted into a mask of hatred, I'm imagining like old like horror comics version of just like your face is like lines and like teeth
the bottom
gnashing
of your mouth is
like
over
that.
By your ear and your eyes. Like one is squinted and one eyebrow is up in your hairline like just a fucking
unmistakable
clay
like
face
this person is
doom.
Angry
yes
you know?
Yes
and then like the next and then like start of the next chapter was sort of like it's like was Chris that angry? Maybe she was just squinting because of the sun. And I was like, squinting?
Oh, yeah, I do
what
remember
is this
that
face?
Moment.
And like, trying to picture, like, what is a face that could be equally mistaken as either twisted into a mask of hatred or squinting because it's a little bright? And it's like,
she's
I don't
on this
know
ski
what this
lift
face
going,
is.
Well, was she going to murder me?
Yeah.
Or was she having a stroke?
Yeah. But it literally, like, because that face, and I know this is terrible for audio, but it's like, okay, I'm going to try and do it. Maybe it's like...
For the listeners at home,
we'll
it defies description.
We'll each try to do our own.
Yeah.
You at home do the same.
Okay, so do it. Okay.
Everybody...
Are we going to do it at the same time?
Yeah, let's do it at the same time. Okay. And you have to hold it while you look at the other two.
Okay.
One, two,
three. Wait. Okay, I think maybe ours don't look that angry.
Yeah, they're just sort of like constipated.
Yeah, they're just kind of... like they're just kind of so can you imagine right you see someone making that face at you
and
you're like well time to get on the ski lift.
Oh well, she's got a bee in her bonnet.
Someone should have brought sunglasses.
Would you guys recommend that someone read this book?
I am very sad to say no. I would love to be able to recommend this book or any other books in this genre of the sort of like you know, because like we talked about, I love like this sort of pulpy stuff, and I just think like for the genre you're doing, this was so poorly done that it's like, well, even if you like the genre, you're not gonna like this. So it's sort of how I felt.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even like a big enough swing. Like there weren't enough like that. Like it's like, well, this didn't work, but it was crazy. It was like it was mostly just sort of like boring, true. Like a lot of nothing happening. So I can't honestly recommend.
I would say pluses to this book is that it was short.
For sure, yeah,
it's very short. I liked some of the characters. Like, I liked Billy and I liked Sasha. But I don't know. I think this, you could probably skip this one, I think.
I'm going to lean closer to Reed.
Okay.
And say, because like, but with caveats.
Okay.
Caveats.
Caveats? What are they?
Read it if you're one of our listeners who just like generally likes to read the book. Like, you'd rather have read the book than not. Because like for me, I was still interested throughout. I was still
I was never like so bored I didn't care.
I was like certainly engaged, particularly because last week with Babysitter 3,
oh God,
I was having to like I may as well have been holding the back of my own head in place, forcing myself to finish that fucking book. And I was speed reading it so hard because it was so lazy. It was just like, didn't even want to be written. Even though bigger swings were taken. So it's like, it's easy to do a big, crazy thing. And it is fun to read. It's like, I definitely agree with you in that case. Like, if something's like, at least like going like camp or hog wild, that is just more fun. But at the same time, this is certainly like more readable than something that is just like throwing cliffhangers at you that lead absolutely nowhere. Like, at least this was like, the language is well written, the characters were compelling, but it was kind of boring at the same time.
This sounds to me like you're saying that this book is the Drew of the books that you've read, where
other characters,
there are much worse books out there. Yeah. Like, if you got to go home with one of the books,
this book didn't kill Liana. So. Read it.
It's kind of a boring wet blanket, but it's not, you know, there are a lot worse books in the group. So if you got to go home with one of them.
It's not Babysitter 3.
That's the thing, is I can't help but like place it in the context of all of the other books that we read.
My bar got so lowered.
Yes. Absolutely. 100%.
It happens with us a lot, Mike. Like, literally, like,
bar is so on
many.
The floor.
Yeah. So many times our opinions of books are affected by what we read immediately preceding.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Because sometimes we're like, damn, I cried in this book. And we're like, why? Like, why did we cry? And it's because it's like, the book before was so bad.
Last week was so unenjoyable that like even the barest amount of character development, I was just like, oh, I feel for this person so deeply.
Yeah.
It was just like, there was so nothing happening in the book last week that I was like, oh, what a refreshing change.
Yeah.
I totally get that. And this is probably too much of a tangent. You don't have to include this in the final cut if you don't feel like it.
We basically edit nothing.
But like,
unless you say something terrible.
Well,
you're like, this might
I'm about to say something terrible. No. it's very like kind of inside baseball stuff. But like, when I was still at College Humor, I was there for a fairly long time. And there were a couple rounds of hiring that I was there when we were hiring. And I would read all the packets that we got. Mm-hmm. And like some years it was like, you know, between 100 and 200 packets. And it's a good bell curve, you know, like some of them are really great. Some of them are really terrible. Most of them are somewhere in the middle where it's like, this is a fine packet. It's just nothing. And I've explained to other people before who've been like, who've asked about like submissions and things like that, where it's like the feeling you get when you've read through like 10 packets that you hate. And then you get to one that you like, the feeling that you get is not just like, oh, that was a good packet. You feel like gratitude and like relief.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, thank God I got a chance to read this for a little while.
Yeah.
And like, and like, you wouldn't feel that if that was the first one you read in the stack. But if it comes after like a long string of ones you just don't like, that it's just like, oh, wow. And like, that can affect like your overall opinion of that person as a whole. Just like, wow, they were there for me when I was really slogging through those. They came out of nowhere, like, and they wrote a really good sketch.
Like, R.L. Stine really hurt me last week, and Carol Ellis was there for me this week.
It's truly like, okay, not to like really just bummer things out, but like when my first boyfriend was like awful and abusive, and then my next boyfriend was just like a dud, but I was like, he's amazing. And then I was like, oh shit, no, he sucks. But like, he wasn't abusive, so
barometer was off.
I was just like really off.
But it is like, for all that, like, the point that you made, Kelly, how this is like, did you know like why you wanted to write a Rear Window type story? Because it seems like you just took the details and not the like essence. Mm-hmm. For all of that, it's like, well, I know that Carol Ellis like cared about writing a story.
Yeah. And she's written some bangers.
Some of the other books we've read.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it is just like, it doesn't feel tossed off. You know,
yeah, and I don't feel like disrespected. Doesn't feel like
she is uninvested in it. You know,
yeah. It just seems
she cares.
But the suspense is for sure missing.
There is. Oh, yeah. I don't know what I wrote in my notes. I don't know what page I was on when I did this, but I wrote, "This is so slow. Make with the terror already. Something better happen by page 50." And considering there's only like 150 pages in the book.
Oh my god!
And you know, we hinted at this at the beginning, but there's a whole chapter devoted to like, it's like we're gonna play a game and like try to stab this orange peel on the slopes. And it's like, it is like someone telling you a story about people who you don't know, where and like they're going in details, like, and this person did this, and they almost got the orange peel. This person did this, and it's like, I don't know these people. I don't care about the.
Yeah, I have no reason to care who gets the orange peel.
And here's what doesn't lead anywhere. Was the most unacceptable part about the orange peel business. That's not how Jody sprained her ankle.
No,
that's true.
Why wasn't that just?
And you know what?
Day one, sprains her ankle. You've set it up. There are fucking icy patches, but instead, it's just like, is the way that Liana suddenly comes on the scene and does get the orange peel. I'm just like, why you like gave yourself the?
I bet if that was originally
to go ahead and injure her.
I bet it was that, and then they're like, Miss Ellis, this book is 80 pages long. And it's like, oh, okay, I can add another chapter. We can just, we'll just.
And she like looks at her thing, and like she sees an orange. She's just like, orange peel. I think, and this is a completely different book. This will be a completely different book, so it doesn't really apply here. But I mean, as far as like timeline goes, when the orange peel thing happens, they should have like someone should have stabbed down and oh my god, there's a hand in the snow, or oh my god, there's like someone's watch or something. But nothing fucking happens for another like 30 pages after that, because then they're talking about the orange peel and talking about Liana.
It just goes right back to all the subs, the social drama. Yeah,
all those subs.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like you're waiting for that moment where it's like the sort of like the big moment was like, yeah, you're reading a horror movie here. You're reading a terror book, and like, you're waiting for that moment, and then when it doesn't come, it's just sort of like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I thought Billy was going to get hurt or something. I thought someone was going to get hurt. Like, there had to be something happen.
There were, like, it set it up as a high-stakes thing, and then nothing.
Nothing.
All that happens in that chapter is we meet Joanna. Like, we finally see her for the first time. But even then, when she shows up, she doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
To make you feel one way, like, oh, no, one
Liana.
Way or another better.
Liana.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Liana.
Which is just another indication that, like, who cares?
Completely forgettable characters. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so it's like,
that
if,
was the book.
If you're the kind of person who just really loves going through the genre, it's certainly.
It's not offensive.
It's like an interesting read. But like, if you only have so much time in your week, skip it.
Yeah.
If you're like busy. You're a parent, if you have a job, don't
if, yeah,
worry
if you
about
have
it.
Like anything else going on in your life,
if you like to have like anyone or anything,
yeah,
don't worry about it.
You got a pet,
to stress,
don't do
this
it.
This book is only for the loneliest, saddest, least active people out there.
Look,
yeah.
If you are Billy of the book, read the book.
Oh,
but
god,
if you're anyone else, or don't.
Or Jody, honestly, if you're if you have sprained your ankle,
if you are
and you're stuck,
up.
Yeah. And you have, oh, that was another thing. One
oh,
of my
and
notes
if
was
open
like, damn.
Library isn't down.
Oh, yeah.
Read this book.
Yeah. That was another one of my notes was that, like, damn, in the 90s, it was so easy to just to be like so fucking bored.
Yep.
Like, how do you pass the time?
Yeah. You don't have those like 5 to 10 minute waiting increments where, like, these days you just sort of be like, I'll pull out my phone, I'll look at something for 10 minutes, and that'll be fine. When you otherwise go like, yeah, there were scenes where it's like, why are you reading Popular Mechanics magazine? It's like, it's
oh
the only
God.
Thing in the cabin.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess that was an experience you had sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the book. And thank you so much, Mike, for joining us. You were
thanks
such
having
a
me.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure to be here.
Do you have anything you would like to plug?
I don't really. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike W. Trapp. You can watch me on I'm Actually, on Dropout, or on YouTube. And there's not a lot else you can see me in yet, but we'll see. We'll see. Nothing I could talk about yet.
Okay, we'll follow him, and then you'll
know.
Like breaking news.
Breaking news.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate you. If you want to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/teencreeps. We've got a lot of cool stuff for you. Special thank you to our Patreon producers. Thank you, Aaron Fernandez.
Adam Halwitz.
Amanda Nengel.
Anne Dwyer.
Ashley Fritz.
Brian Petty II.
Claire Moore.
Courtney McPhail.
Danielle Lamana.
Danny B.
Emma.
Aaron Bates.
Gabriela Santiago.
Gianna Fernandez.
Gwendolyn Ludovic.
Jeremy Kronk.
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic.
Jessica Smith-Harper.
Jessica Yu.
Jonathan Venable.
Saoirse Descaro.
Karen Lewis.
Kat Miller.
Katie Lilly.
Katie Olsner.
Keith Anderson.
Kelly Burns.
Chris Darina.
Landry Desmond.
Larry Wynn.
Laura Hooper.
Luke Bartek.
Mandalay Wolschlager.
Max B.
Megan Lozier.
Mel Leos.
Melody.
Micah Eunice.
Miguel Camacho.
Miranda Hester.
Molly Marks.
Nathan Gordon.
Noah Spargo.
Rachel Bessert.
Rashad Black.
Randy Klett.
Rebecca Goss.
Rebecca Knuckles.
Robert L.
Rogue Kalihua.
Sarah Jaggers.
Sarah Wallen.
Sasha Gibson.
Sylvie T.
Tristan Buckner.
Victoria Beck.
Victoria Gray.
And Victoria Valdez.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Do we know what we're doing next week? Ms. Lindsay?
We are covering The Sleepwalker by R.L. Stein.
Yeah, another R.L. Stein. Why are we doing this to ourselves?
Because
so much Stein.
He wrote most of these books.
Because he's so prolific. Mm-hmm. So another R.L. Stein. So thanks again to Mike Trapp. Make sure you follow him on everything. Check out all of his stuff. And we'll see you guys next time.
In the meantime, get vaccinated. Keep it creepy.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.